We've been studying prayer on Sunday nights, been exploring this action that is to be a part of our everyday life, something that God has called us to do, and something that you and I both realize is that God desires us to be praying for one another, to be praying for each other as fellow believers in Christ. Now, as we do that, we sometimes may encounter a time when it is difficult to know how to pray for someone. Or maybe you know you should pray for someone, and maybe they're in a difficult and challenging situation, and you don't know the answer yourself, but you want to pray according to the will of God, in agreement with God's heart on the matter. And so therefore, what do you do? How do you bring this person or people before the Lord? And tonight, I just want to speak briefly tonight from one passage, one of Paul's letters to the Philippian church, and just highlight a few ways that we can pray for our fellow believers, for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's just read our verses tonight, and then we'll pray. And we'll look at what God is saying. Philippians chapter 1, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Heavenly Father, tonight we approach your scriptures humbly. This is your word. And God, we approach it in out of respect and realizing, Lord, that this is eternal. And these are powerful words that carry with them great meaning. We thank you for preserving this truth that is applicable to all cultures and peoples. And God, as we take some time here to just look at how Paul prayed for this Philippian church, Philippian believers, I ask that you would challenge our hearts in the same way as we seek to pray for one another and other believers that we know in our lives. Lord, I just ask for your grace in my own life as I seek to be a faithful minister of your truth. I pray that you would guide me and my lips. And God, may we, as we spend some time in prayer at the close of this service, we exalt you because we realize who you are and our great need for you. May you be exalted through this time, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul, writing to the Philippian church. As I read these just beginning verses, I believe you, as I did, come to grips with his emotion and depth as to which he feels for these people. He cares for them and loves them deeply. And with that being so, we see him open his heart up in how he prays for them. He tells them how he prays for them. This is not part of my notes or anything, but just coming to my mind at this point, have you ever taken time to tell a fellow brother or sister in Christ how you pray for them? That's a special, special treasure. That's a special treasure when I have folks come up to me and let me know, you know, Pastor, I've prayed for you, and this is how I prayed. Well, this is what Paul's doing here in this passage. He's communicating to these Philippians, and he's saying, I pray for you. This is how I pray. And I believe we can learn from this. We can learn from his example. And the interesting thing is that he does this in Colossians. He does this in 2 Thessalonians. So very similar passages that where he addresses the people and says, this is how I pray for you. So I guess we could walk away with that principle in mind, is as we fellowship with one another, we are to be praying for one another, and let's let each other know how we're praying for each other. Now, it's not a contest. It's not something that we say, I'm praying this way and this way and that way. Boy, look at me. I'm doing all right. I'm taking good care of you. No, it's a matter of encouraging one another, letting the other person know, you know what? When I face a difficult situation at work, I know someone is praying for me while I'm at work. And that means such so very much. I had a meeting this week, a difficult one, a challenging one. And it was very interesting because a half hour before the meeting, and I was busy studying and preparing for this meeting, a half hour before, a fellow brother came, surprised me in the office there. Came and stopped in, wanted to chat a little bit. We chatted and covered the things that he wanted to talk about. And I shared with him in an honest way. I said, you know what? I got a difficult meeting coming up. I just appreciate it if you pray for me. And he said, all right, let's pray right now. And so he prayed, and he prayed with me there, and then he left. And you know what? As he left, I got up from that table with a new confidence and courage, because I knew a brother that was walking away from me, but really the strength of his prayer stayed right there. And that's what the power of a praying sister or brother in Christ can do in your life and in my life. The Apostle Paul tells the Philippians how he prays. This is beginning in verse 9. He says, in this I pray. And the first thing we see is that he prays that they will have an abounding love. An abounding love. You see love, this concept of love, this truth, this principle of love throughout the New Testament. This is the agape kind of love. When I say the agape kind of love, that's a sacrificial love. That's the unconditional love of God that he has displayed and shown toward us. This is the kind of love that you and I as a fellow, as a brother and sister in Christ are to be showing to one another. And Paul prays and he says, in this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Now let's just talk a little bit about what it means to have an abounding love. What have an abounding love is to mean that you have a love that doesn't reach its breaking point. It's a love that doesn't reach an end. It's the concept of when I go to fill the water pitcher at the sink and I forget that I'm filling the water pitcher at the sink. And I walk away and I come back 5 minutes later and there's the water pitcher under the spigot. And what's happening? The water's just overflowing. And who knows how long it's been overflowing. But there's no end to that water that's coming out. Everything in that container has been maxed out. Every empty space is being filled up to the point that it's overflowing out. It's flowing out. Now we see here that Paul says, you know what, Philippians, I pray that your love would be such that it just overflows out of an abundant heart that is so full of the love of God that there's no end in sight. But it's interesting here that he gives some boundaries to this love. Now we think about love and unconditional love. Well, absolutely, that's true. But we see here that Paul says we are to be loving the right things in the right way. He says here that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Knowledge. This is that Greek word. It comes from the Greek word gnosko. It's the experiential kind of knowledge that is found in the scriptures. And what we're seeing here is the Apostle Paul is saying you need to love in the right way according to the way you know God desires you to love. In other words, love the things that God loves. Love the way God loves people. And then he says, and in all judgment. This is a word like that you can say discernment. So in other words, love how God loves, and love the people and the things that God loves, and love in the way that God loves. So we can pray that we have an abounding love. A picture of this a while back, I don't remember the specifics of this story. But I was speaking with my daughter and I asked her a question. I said, Gracie, how much do you love Daddy? You remember this, Grace? Do you remember what you said? You don't? Well, I was playing this little game with her, and do you love Daddy, you know, this much? Or do you love Daddy this much? And she responded on her own by saying, I love you this much. And she stretches out her little arms. No, in fact, I think she grabbed my arms. And she stretched my arms out because her arms weren't big enough. And that's the picture that we have, is that when we have the ability to love beyond our own human capability because we know the love of God. And, you know, we can love this much. Pray that your fellow brother or sister in Christ will have an abounding love. What's the value of an abounding love? What's the value of praying that they will have abounding love? Have you ever experienced the overwhelming love of a brother or sister in Christ? Have you experienced that? Someone that has gone the extra mile in your life? Maybe you've just been rotten, and they show up at your front door and love you. We need to pray that we have that kind of love. Because there's difficult people to love, isn't there? There's challenging people, but God loves those kind of people. God loves them. Pray that I will have an abounding love. Secondly, what we see is we pray that our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ will have approved values. Verse 10, that you may approve things that are excellent. Approve things that are excellent. This word approve is the idea of it's tested and it's found to be genuine. It's scrutinized. This was used as a term to name money changers that were honest. You see, the money back in those days was made and it was out of soft metal, and people would take and shave metal off those coins to keep for themselves. The honest money changer would not accept those things. And they became, the honest money changers became known by this word of approved, genuine. And what we see here is Paul is saying to these people, listen, I pray that you are people that test the things that are going on in your life, and you choose to live by the best or the better things in life. I'm not talking about monetarily or things like that. I'm talking about the values of your life. Things approach us. We have to make decisions. And we, with the grace and understanding that God will give us, we compare those things and decisions and we choose the higher road, the best way, the better way, according that will bring God glory. We need to pray that that's the kind of people we are. You need to pray that I would be that kind of person, that when there are choices and decisions in life, I will choose the way that will bring God glory the most. That I will approve those things that are of utmost value in the sight of God. That those kinds of things will be a part of my life and will characterize the decisions that I make. You need to pray for one another in that way, because we're making decisions all the time. We are faced with difficult things. We're faced with temptations to compromise. And what we see here is Paul saying, listen, I pray that you, Philippians, will not be people that compromise your values, that you won't be those kind of people, but that you will be people that will excel in the value of the things of God. That you will prove the better things after you've compared all of the options. You know, it's a true thing that when we make decisions, we do a lot of comparing, and we think about what are the different options that are on the table. And it's okay to compare and look at those things. But we need to trust the Lord that we will choose those things that are approved, tested, genuine, the real deal. There's all kinds of false things out there, false teachers, and we can be deceived. Let's pray for one another that we'll approve those things that are excellent, that we'll have approved values. So abounding love, approved values, and finally we see Paul praying that these believers will have an authentic life. An authentic life. Look at the end of verse 10, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Well, what do we see about this authentic life? Well, this is a life that is based on truth. This word sincere is kind of a cool word, because it has the very literal idea of taking something and holding it up in the sunlight and allowing the sun to shine in it and through it and around it. And what does the sun do? It will illuminate cracks. It will illuminate errors in the craftsmanship. You might have heard the illustration, but people back in these days when they would be making pottery, there would be times when the vessel that they are making cracks. And the dishonest craftsmen would take and they would fill those cracks up with wax, paint over them, and try to sell them as the authentic good, the authentic vessel. But a discerning customer would take the vessel and would hold it up to the sunlight. And as they would turn it in their hands, the sunlight would illuminate the cracks. It would show that this vessel was not sincere. It was not true to what it was supposed to be. Paul says, I pray for you that you will have a life that is based on truth, that you will be a sincere believer all the way through. This confronts the whole idea of hypocrisy. The whole putting on of a facade of I am somebody spiritual or special. But when held up to the light of God and His Word, cracks are found everywhere. You know what? We don't want to be those kinds of people. And I should be praying for you that you would be sincere and true in your life. Authentic and genuine. An authentic life that is based on the truth, but also an authentic life that is a trusted life. A life that is trusted. In other words, you are leaving a legacy. You know, this word here, without offense, comes from the idea of leaving a smooth path behind you. You know what? Some people's lives, they leave boulders behind. You try to follow someone like that and you're stumbling, you're falling. Why? Because their way of life was such that it was not pleasing to God. It left all kinds of stumbling blocks in your path. And therefore, since you have chosen that way, you too will fall. And what we see here is an authentic life needs to be a true life, but it should be a trusted life so that others that are coming behind may follow you. And may follow you with the confidence of knowing this is a smooth path. This is a path that is good and right, and I can trust the goings of this path. Are you God that kind of person? Are you praying for your fellow brother or sister in the Lord that they will live that kind of life that is authentic, that is based on truth, and that is a trusted life, that they are leaving a legacy that's not leaving all kinds of boulders and stones in the path, but leaving a smooth road? Think about you as fathers and mothers, and you have children. They watch you. They watch us. You know what? They see what you're like when you come home from work. They see what you're like when there's a disagreement between you and your spouse. They see what you're like when you mess up and see, they see whether you confess it as sin and seek forgiveness or if you just try to push it under the rug. They see that. It's an amazing, amazing thing. This past week, I had an opportunity to go to my father's retirement party. He's retiring, and it was a surprise party. We didn't tell anyone, and we showed up, and it was a big surprise for him. It was at his work. And as I was there, they were giving speeches and things about him, and I just felt like I needed to say something. I wasn't supposed to. I wasn't on the plan or the schedule, but I'm the son, oldest son. I just stepped up. I said, I'd like to say something. Because you know why? These people saw my dad at work all the time. All right? And I tell you what, you can live one way at work, and you can live another way at home. You know what? I wanted to tell all those people there that were there to congratulate my dad, I wanted them to know he was the real deal, not just at work, but also at the house. I had a perspective that they didn't have. I wanted to tell them that he was living a true life, a life that was based on truth, and a life that could be trusted. They could follow in that path. You know what? Some of the testimonies I heard from folks was pretty cool, pretty amazing, how they looked up to my father. And it was a neat thing to be able to back that up with a testimony from what it was like to live in the home with him. So we see that we pray for people to have an abounding love, approved values, an authentic life that is true and trusted. And notice verse 10, that you, I'm sorry, verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Now this here is what is true, what is alive in you as a believer that enables you to live a life that is abounding in love, that has approved values, that is authentic. This is why you can pray these things for one another. It is because you have been filled, believer, with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. This is the incredible beauty of our salvation in Jesus Christ. We have been given the results of righteousness. We have been given the fruit of righteousness in our lives, the ability to live righteously. And so therefore, we can pray for one another that fruit would come out. That we would be abounding in love. That we would be approved in our values. That we would be authentic in our life. And that can only be happening in our life because of Jesus Christ. We've been filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Now, I skipped over one phrase. And that's the end of verse 10. That you may be sincere and without offense. And Apostle Paul puts this time frame on it. Till the day of Christ. You know what? God wants us to live faithfully all the way to the end of our lives on this earth. So, I trust that you might use this as a tool to help you to pray for your friends. To help you to know how to pray for your pastor. To help you to know how to pray for your spouse. Your parent. Your brother, your sister. The person across the aisle in church. We need want to be praying for one another, that we're abounding in love, that we're living with approved values, that we're living authentic lives that are true and trusting. Lord, I thank you for our time together, and I just pray that you would be honored by the preaching of your word. Lord, we need these truths, and we need to apply them in our lives, and I pray that you would help us to do that this week. Lord, it is a wonderful thing to know that people are praying for one another. To know that people have prayed for me. And Lord, I just ask that this church, that we would grow in this, that we would grow in our fervency, in our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.